Acts chapter 13. This morning, Acts chapter 13, begin with verse 1. And now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and so forth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us now to be very, very conscious of your word. Very conscious of your presence among us. Very conscious of the work that you desire to do in our hearts. And Father, I pray that we will be receptive, patient, and willing for you to speak with us right in the area of our heart's desire, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one thing I neglected to tell you before we go right into the sermon this morning is that Brother Knickerbocker is celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday to you. He's 26 years old, and it's quite amazing to be 26 years old and going off and leading a wife into the other part of the world to do the work of God, and I commend you for that. And I pray that, as you ask us to pray for you, that the Lord will use you. Now, what he had to say also was very beneficial, because it lets you know the heart of a young man as he sees his calling of God to the mission field. That's why we're in this text today. Because you have heard from a missionary that is going, heard a little bit about how God prepared him from a very early age, raising up on a mission field, dealing with him, going off to Bible college, going to a country, making him feel like he was leaving where he was supposed to be in order to come back to the United States to go through deputation. And the question then is, what does that leave for us to do? What are we as a church supposed to do about missionaries? Now, when you walk in here, particularly if you've been visiting with just a little while, you've noticed, particularly after we've gotten the furnishings in the foyer, you walk in through the double doors and you look up, and on both sides of you, there are some letters. Did you notice that? And on the wall where those letters are, those are letters from missionaries, including the Knickerbockers, who are serving the Lord around the world doing something for God. And the question is, what do we? We're the pillar and ground of the truth. What are we supposed to do? Well, from the text you can see, and we'll go through and just look at a few things, and we'll be brief in our comments about each section of the sermon so that you can get the full import of the message. First of all, we're to send them. We're to send them. You know what you do in the ministry when you get somebody like, and I've just met him today, so my impression of him may be different than the man that he really is, but I don't think so. I believe in the ministry, if we had a couple like this in the church, we'd try to find a way to groom them to stay in the church and use them in the church. And the Lord said about Barnabas and Saul, who were very, very strong in the church. You know, Barnabas sold land and gave all of the possession, all the money to the apostles. He was a great giver. He was a minister of consolation, the Bible says. He was a great man to have in the church. And the Lord said, you know what, it's time for them to go. And Paul was a tremendous saint and a tremendous warrior for God. And God said, no, let him go too. Generally speaking, you groom your best so you can keep them and use them in a growing ministry. And the Lord said, no, what you want to do is you want to send them. So the first thing we should do is send them. Now, you know the Woods are going to Moldova, and they're the first family out of the church to go. And this whole process of the Woods going to Moldova, may I tell you something? This has to be of the Lord, or it is a mistake. And when they surrendered to go back in February, they were ready to be gone. Not February of this year, February of the year before, they were ready to be there full time in August. I think now they probably look back on that and say, thank God we didn't go then. They had a house to sell. They've got deputation to do. There's things they are learning. Pam and I were talking just the other day, and she said, I want to learn all that God wants me to learn before it's time for us to get to that field. And there, you know what? There are things that need to be learned here. So what do we need to do as a church? If God's going to call from us young men and young women to go to the mission field, you know what we need to do? We need to be involved in training. And we need to be involved in preparing. And we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Right now, we're praying about an internship program. I don't know if that's where the Lord is leading. It looks like He is. That would involve Bible study like we've done before with the men. And it would involve module studies so men and women who want to go to the mission field would know what to do when they get there. You know what? You want to hold on to your good ones, but you can't. You got to send them. That's what a local church does. And God's the one that separates them. What else do we need to do for them? Well, right here in the text, you can see. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, as they minute, you know, by the way, let me say this about sending them. I talked to Pastor Keck the other day, and he was talking about this. He said, when young men are sent out of a local church and they come to our church and want to present their work, I call their pastor. And I ask their pastor, how much are you giving them each month? And if the pastor, that church is just giving them a little bit of money, you know what I think? I think they're trying to get rid of a problem. You're not sending away people that you really don't want to keep in your church anymore. You're sending people that God wants to use, but you're sending them where God wants to use them. Amen? All right, and then he says, pray for them. And here in Acts chapter 13, verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, you know what? That's not the only time they prayed for them. When Brother Knickerbocker was giving his presentation, he said, I want you to pray for us. And he gave some things up there that he wanted you to pray for. Isn't it amazing he didn't say that pray God would raise up all the rest of our support? Listen, if God's sending you over there, God will take care of that bill. He asked you to pray for things that you find in Scripture. Now, to save some time, I'm going to turn to the passages for you and just read some of these. But one of the things he said is pray that the Word of God would have free course. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. That's what Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for him. Another thing that he prayed for is that for boldness. And Paul asked for that in Ephesians chapter 6, right after dealing with them about the whole armor of God. He said, when you're praying, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what they had to do. Listen, there's prayers for Paul in Romans 15 and Colossians chapter 4 is just as well. And these prayers are not so much about the carnal things. They are about the necessary things to do just what they said. He said, continue in prayer to the Colossians, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We need to pray for them. Now, you know, when missionaries come, oftentimes they come and they're looking for money. Let's just get down to the business of it. I'll talk to you about that in just a second. But ultimately, listen, if they are doing God's work, the number one thing they ought to be concerned about is bringing glory to God. And the second thing they ought to be concerned about when given an opportunity to speak is edifying the saints, leaving you with something. But hopefully those two things will result in your desire to pray for them. Now, you know, out there in the foyer, when you leave here, a lot of you are going to turn real quick and go to your cars. But if you would step just a little further in, you'll notice the display that he's gotten on both sides, two little tables. On the table on the left side, sitting in there sideways, I saw how he had them in the display, there is a prayer card. You know what you would do wise to do is pick out one of those prayer cards and take it with you. It's got a good looking picture on it for one thing. But the other thing is you could put it on your breakfast table where you eat, or put it with a magnet on your refrigerator, and every time you see it, you could bow your head and say, Dear Lord, please keep the Knickerbocker family, keep the New York Knicks healthy in Burkina Faso against those diseases. Allow him to speak the word of God boldly. May the word of God have free course through Burkina. See that? That's a prayer card. Listen, let me just say this, and then we'll move to the next point. Do you know what we do here on Wednesday night? Yeah, we pray. We have a prayer meeting. Now, I believe that prayer is associated with the Bible, so we open the Bible and for about 20 minutes or 45 minutes, I give you something from the Word of God. Usually I keep it short because you work. You don't want to be here all night. And we want to get down to prayer. And we take a few prayer requests, like we prayed for Maddie, and we've prayed for Mario, and many others that I won't name. I'm just giving you, we have some very personal prayer requests regarding very needful concerns of our sheep. And then we take index cards with the prayer requests from the prayer letters of our missionaries, and we pass them out to all the groups that are in here praying so that our missionaries get prayed for by our people here at least once a week. Many of you remember those prayer requests and pray throughout the week. You know why? They need that. You say, that's very interesting. I encourage you, if your schedule will permit, and it's amazing, it probably permit more than you know, to join us on Wednesday night as a church praying for our missionaries. I really encourage you on that. Pray for them. You know what else you can do? Turn to Philippians. Flip to Philippians. So you're in Acts, go through Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you get to Colossians and Thessalonians and Timothy and all that, you've gone too far. Come back to Philippians. So if you get to Galatians, Ephesians, the next one is Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 3. Now I realize that Paul is writing to the Philippians here, and he was in Philippi, and the people he is commending were working with him in the very territory where they were working. But look what he says here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So, you know what we do? We send them, we pray for them, and then we labor with them. We labor with them. Now I realize these saints being committed here were in Philippi, so it's obvious that they could work with Paul. They were there. But you know something that we as a church have done and will continue to do by God's grace? You ought to go to the mission field sometime and labor with a missionary on his field. We've taken mission trips out of here before. We've been to Mexico. We've been to Montreal, Canada. We've been to the Dominican Republic. We've been to Trinidad. And we've gone and helped missionaries with vacation Bible schools, evangelistic efforts, and construction projects. Let me ask you something. Those of you, how many of you have ever been with us on a mission trip somewhere? Raise your hand. Okay? There's a smattering through here. I'm going to point at Bobby and ask him a question. When you went to Montreal with us the first time and got in that construction process over there, you said something to me with your whole family. You went. You said something to me on the way back. Do you remember what you said about that mission trip? It's the best vacation we ever had. He did. He said that. And I didn't prompt him. He didn't know I was going to ask him this question this morning. You say, how could a mission trip be a vacation? Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's how. His whole family's involved here now. His wife's teaching Sunday school. Children are involved in various things. His daughter's in Bible college. Let me tell you something. You labor with a missionary in a field for a little time, and some of that stuff rubs off on you and really helps you. And you know what else it does? It helps the missionary. So labor with them or work with them. Look at Philippians. You're in Philippians 4, right? I make that convenient. Look at chapter 4 and look at verse 14. Well, look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Is there a period after that? Huh? Absolutely. You know what? That verse in itself stands alone. Philippians 4:14, Paul said, 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, which means I don't need you. But you know what? When it comes to missions, it doesn't really work like that. Because the truth of the matter is, when he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, there is something that Christ is doing for the benefit of a missionary through others that are involved. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. God uses, Jesus Christ uses, those who are in His body to help those who are in His body do the work that He wants to do in His body. It's a body ministry. They don't function independently. He doesn't go out of here and say, see y'all later. Ha ha! We're going to Burkina Faso. Ha ha! We're out of here. Woo-hoo! Bon voyage. See you down the road. That's French, by the way. Bon voyage. No, you go with them. How do you do that? Look at verse 14. He says, "Now I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, notwithstanding ye, Philippians," he's talking to a church, "have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." They wrote him letters from time to time, said, "Hope you get to feeling better." No, communicate, keep reading. Verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," Philippi was a chief city in Macedonia, "when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only," he had one supporting church, "for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." He recognized that that thing was something God was doing. You know what you ought to do for missionaries? Send them. Pray for them. Labor with them. And give to them. That's what you ought to do to missionaries. As a church. As a church. Now, our church has been very, very involved in missions. I won't go through all that with you right now. I'll get down to the very point of this thing, because he talks about this in other places. You know you're to give. I don't talk to you much about that. The Bible is clear on these matters, tithing and offering and things like that to the work of the ministry here in the church. And many of you are very, very good at that. So let me just tell you something. In addition to that, you ought to put something in that plate regularly for missions. You really should. My wife and I have been doing that since 1989. Next year will be 25 years. I absolutely love to give to missions. You know why? Broadens your reach. Broadens your horizon. Get your mind off yourself. You know what I like to do? I like to fish. You know what kind of boat I have to go fishing in? A paddle boat. They give you a sophisticated name so it sounds good. They call it a kayak. It's just a paddle boat. Okay? That's what they call this thing. They don't call this thing I use an oar on my boat. They call it a paddle. Okay? You know what I'd really like to have? I'd like to have a motorboat. I really would. And I could describe it for the next hour and a half to you. And I'd love every morning to be able to get up in the morning with a conscience that would allow me before God and just zoom all over these bays and catch fish all day long. Not as a guide, just on my own. Because I really like to fish. Amen. Yeah. Randy was first in line. When I get that, if and when I ever get that boat, Randy's going with me. But you know something? Every time I have enough money to buy a boat, I keep sticking in missions. Amen. You say, why do you do that? Because I remember there were four guys that eventually became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who were fishing. And the Lord said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets. And John and James left their dad and the nets and the boats. And they followed Jesus to go fishing for men. You know what he's going to do in Burkina Faso that I can't do? Because I'm here, stuck with you. And you're stuck with me? Till God shows us otherwise. He's going fishing for men in Burkina Faso. You know what I want to do? I want to make sure he catches a bunch. And you know how I do that? Pray for him and send him some money. That's how you do that. And the thing about it is, we can all participate in that as a church when special offerings come up. You know, Christine McLaughlin was here last week. Remember that? Okay, we didn't take up a special offering for her, but I got together with some of the guys back there. So what do you guys want to do? We didn't know. She was trying to get a Jeep or something over there. And we were just like, what should we give her? She said, I don't know. Let's give her something. I shouldn't even be telling Burkina Faso what we did. We gave her a couple thousand bucks. This is a girl missionary. Yeah. Shannon's over there glaring at me. But she speaks French. And some other folks came on Monday because we didn't take up a special offering, brought us more money, so we ended up sending her like $2,620. You know what she had? A big old smile on her face when she got that check, and she goes, that takes care of the Jeep. This finished it off. We had no idea. that's finished it off right here. Isn't that something? I tell you what, I love that. Wednesday we got together and we picked up more missionaries, four more missionaries that have come through here over the years and gave a raise to some. You say, wow, is that a wise thing to do? It's just as much as we can. That's something, I'll tell you what, it grows on you. It really does. You ought to give to them. And then what should you do? You say, is this thing coming to a close? Right now. Right now. Turn to 2 Corinthians. So you're in Philippians, right? You got to go back to the left. You know, let's skip 2 Corinthians. Go on back to Acts. You know where that is real quick. I'll read 2 Corinthians to you. You go on to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul said to the Corinthians, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, watch it, he said, and in your love to us. You abound in your love to us. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 36. When he had thus spoken, what he's leaving? He's leaving Miletus, where he has been talking to the elders of Ephesus. And he says to them, when he had thus spoken, he said, I'm gone, see ya. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. These were some folks he'd spent some time with in Ephesus. What should we do for our missionaries? Send them, pray for them, labor with them, give to them. And what else? Love them. Amen. Love them. They should be like family to us. Many churches send cards on their special occasions. Many of them send gifts to their kids for Christmas and things like that, just to let them know, hey, we feel a part of you. You are a part of us. There is a family relationship here. You know how it grows on you? I'll tell you how it grows on you, Kim. It's like having a son in the military overseas. She got a telephone call from Henry this week at 2:30 in the morning. That didn't bother her. He said, my replacement has arrived, meaning he'll be coming home soon. And she was all chipper. You know what? We ought to be real. They ought to grow on us like family. That's why we like missionaries to come to the church, so you can see them and get to know them. We like them to spend some time with us when they can afford to. The Knickerbockers won't be with us for the evening, so we had them this morning. But see, they grow on you, and I'll tell you what happens. You fall in love with them. I think back to April of 1990. I'd been laboring with Ron Sykes, visiting folks, knocking on doors, preaching on the street, passing out tracts, fishing, other things like that. April of 1990, he and his wife and five of their children boarded a plane to fly to South Africa. We paid for their airfare. They boarded a plane to fly to South Africa to go to be missionaries. And when they left, we said goodbye. I went home and just wept. I told my wife, I said, it's like a death in the family. It's like they're gone. It's like I'll never see them again. That really hurt. 1995, we got to go over there and be with them, minister. Again, 3 years ago in April, we got to go over there and minister with them. I love them. And then Ron had an accident, as you know, and died this summer. And I know that he's with the Lord. But I grieve with his family like I've lost my family. I told Mary Lee, I said, it won't do us any good to come to the funeral. You're going to have a lot of people there anyway. But my wife and I want to make a trip over there to see you sometime, just to be with you. And she said to me, that'd be nice. That'd be real nice. We sure would like to see you. And we'll go soon, Lord willing. I'll tell you what, if you ever fall in love with missionaries and with the Lord Jesus Christ who calls them, you'll never have any trouble wanting to do something for them. Amen. That's what we need to do for missionaries as a church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful today for the opportunity to be together in fellowship with you. I love your work. I love the men and women that you call into your work. Father, we pray for the Knicks going off to Burkina Faso, that the Word of God will have free course and that they will have good health. And that, Father, when times come that you want them to be able to succumb to the health problems that are there so that you can manifest your grace and glory, I pray that you will supply them with the sufficiency of your grace and that they can glorify you the way that Paul did by saying, I take pleasure in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And know that strength of the Lord God. I pray, Father, you'll raise up their support. Raise up churches that will love them and take care of them and pray for them. I pray, Father, that our folks will pray for them. God, I pray you'll touch the hearts of all of ours that are gathered here today and break our hearts for missions, that we may love them more and help them more, pray for them more, labor with them more, give to them more, for I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.